We're at a junkyard.
Now, you wouldn't think that this would be a place where someone would choose to go to learn lessons for leadership. Well, stay tuned.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. Now, we're continuing our visit with Roy Gobel, a successful Silicon Valley real estate developer and author of the book Salvaged. Working in his dad's junkyard as a kid, Roy had no idea what his future held and the leadership lessons he'd learned from his labors.
Now, you also equate leadership with decision-making. Are they the same?
No, definitely not. A lot of managers make decisions every day. But I would say a good leader makes decisions that have profound impact on people, precisely because a good leader has pulled those people into the conversation to make that decision. I don't really believe in the sort of charismatic leader that does it all and says it all and figures it all out and then tells everybody else what they need to do. That's really more of a prophet than a leader. And there's a place for that. But most of the prophets we read about were not really very good leaders.
Yes.
And so I would say that to make a decision is valuable and important. Let's not confuse it, though, with leadership, which is actually influencing people and guiding them. And sometimes it feels like herding cats because you're asking for so much different input from different people. But then you make a decision that everybody nods their head, or at least 80% of the people nod their head and go, that's the right decision.
You know, when people look at leaders, there has to be a trust factor, or there's kind of a fake facade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's our leader, but we don't believe in that leader.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say about building trust as far as being a leader?
Oh, my goodness. It's so important. I think today people are starved for authenticity.
Yes.
And they're starved for transparency. And we're just not getting it from a lot of our leaders. And I think that authenticity and that transparency is exactly what builds trust. If we can do that, if we can be authentic with people, and if we can share our hearts, humble ourselves, admit to our mistakes, share our ideas with humility, then you create that trust and people will follow. But if they don't, and you're still doing all of those things, then I think there's a time to step back and go, okay, let me rethink this. Let me question my own motivations even, and my own heart in the process.
So what we're really talking about is, I think you're saying that your book deals with leadership, integrating both the home life and your business world. If you have a business world, that we need to be leaders everywhere we are, but that it has a higher purpose. It's not just to move up to the next level in your job, but your higher purpose is that it's also integrated with your faith.
Correct. And that's exactly what I hope to convey to the reader when they read the book. One quick story to give you an example. Here's a story that when it happened, I didn't think it was a leadership lesson at all. But in hindsight, I realized it grew into a leadership lesson. On the day of my wedding, at the reception, my brother, again, 13 years older than I am, he was in his mid-30s, he had kids, he had mortgage, the whole thing, right? In my mind, he's an old man.
Yes.
He walks up to me and shakes my hand, and inside of his hand, he palms me a $100 bill. And he just says to me, looks me in the eye, and he just says to me, never buy cheap champagne. And I laughed, and that was,
what?
Yeah, exactly. What? And what he meant in that moment was literally, hey, here's a $100 bill. Go and enjoy a really wonderful bottle of champagne on your honeymoon. Now, that was huge money. It's still big money for a bottle of champagne. But back then, it was gigantic. This was nearly 40 years ago. But he meant splurge, enjoy, love life. Well, over time, that little story, which is just a meaningless little family story, has become so much more meaningful to me and my family because we view it as we're to give our best to others. Celebrate something special. You think about all the things that we own that we go, we're saving that for a special event.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's a special, I don't know, china in your closet or something, or special pillows you bring out for guests. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we all have that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And what I learned was if you don't begin sharing that and just being generous with all of those things, you're not a good leader. You have to give your very best all the time to the people around you, the people that follow you, the people you work with, and of course your family. And that's a little lesson I learned from just a funny little story that, you know, my brother handing me a $100 bill and saying, enjoy a really great bottle of champagne, which we did.
Well, it reminds me, too, of the saying, anything that's worth doing is worth doing well.
Yes.
I used to hear that from my parents all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that can carry from what you're saying and what you enjoy at home to tasks that you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like doing them halfway or really going all out?
Oh, absolutely. And I was notorious for doing them halfway as a kid growing up. And I had to learn and I had to be rewarded for doing things right the first time. In the junkyard, it's easy to cut corners. But my dad was pretty hard on me if I did.
We're visiting with Roy Goebel about his book, Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard. And we'll return to our talk with him in just a moment.
You're listening to Connections with Rich and Bobby, and we'd love to connect with you on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or post on Instagram and or tweet us on Twitter.
Also, you can email us at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now let's return to our talk with Roy Goebel and find out more that we can glean from a junkyard.
Going back to the junkyard, you talk in your book about doers and dreamers, and you use the term get stuff done, as your junkyard friends would say. Can you talk a little bit about that rather than just dreaming? Without a vision, a person perishes, but you have to also implement and put things into action.
Yeah, yeah. And my junkyard friends would have said it a little differently. They wouldn't have used the word stuff. But get stuff done is just an important part of how we need to operate as leaders. And for that matter, even as followers, we need to get stuff done. My dad's favorite motto, he went to military academy during World War II, and the motto from the school was acta non verba, which can be translated as action, not words. That's how he lived his life, and it's what he imparted to us. So there was a sense in which if we spent more than 10 minutes in a meeting, it was a waste of time, and he'd push us on. Now, that's not always the case, but his point was keep moving forward. Keep accomplishing things, keep doing things. Even if they're wrong, get stuff done, because then you can go back and fix what you made the mistake on, and you learn in the process.
Part of that is just not being afraid to take risks. If you don't take risks, then you're sort of inhibited at the least.
And I think we're doing a lot of the younger generation a disservice by not letting them take risk. And I have a chapter in there, we need a school that encourages risk. We just have too many safety factors around us sometimes. And I'm all for safety, but good grief, we still have to take some risk.
Now, you have an interesting chapter in your book. It's entitled, Profanity Must Be Earned.
Now, I thought it was a typo.
Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of a pushback against the level of profanity we see in our culture today. It's become the norm, and you hear it in business, you hear it in politics, you hear it in the media, you hear it in entertainment, and it's disappointing to me. And my point in the title about profanity must be earned is that there are people that are doing things that are rough and dirty and hard and sweaty, and they go home with cuts and bruises and they're exhausted. And you know what? If they need to burn off a little steam, then I'm fine with that. But there's people sitting in an air-conditioned office upset their latte is not right, and they're using profanity to express it. That drives me crazy. And it's unbecoming to them. It's also, at best, going to roll off the backs of the people that follow you, and at worst, offend some. So why do it? There's just no point. There's no upside in doing it.
And sometimes that profanity becomes part of their vocabulary.
Correct.
Where, you know, that's how they speak.
And in the book, there's a mea culpa there. It was for me for many years. And one day I realized I had just totally gone off on a contractor in a church building, of all things, in front of my pastor, and realized, oh, this is probably not a good habit to be in. So it was a time for me to just say, stop, quit, don't do that anymore.
And don't you find that when you do, people around you don't use it as much? I've really found that just never saying necessarily anything out loud about how it offended me, just not using it, people would use it less and less around me.
You're right. Yeah, that's right. We're all looking for cues from other people about what's acceptable behavior. And if people use it around me, rarely do I crack a smile or even acknowledge it. I'll just move on. And pretty soon they pick up, oh, Roy doesn't talk that way, so maybe I shouldn't either.
Now, you also make a point in your book to make friends in low places. So can you explain? That kind of goes against, you know, most people's drive for success. Make friends in low places?
Yeah, again, it comes back to Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, Jesus made a lot of friends in low places, and he managed to really tick off the people in high places. So there's a lesson in that. But what I really mean by that is that too many of us, and myself included, we walk into a room and we scan the room and we say, who do we need to connect with? What will I get out of this conversation or this evening's events or this party or whatever? And you look for the person you want to connect with because you think they'll further your business or your career or promote your book, whatever the case might be. I think we would be wiser and more humble and more like Christ if we looked around the room and found the people that were in the low places. Befriend the person that's serving the food or cleaning up afterwards. Mm-hmm. Do things like that. The story in the book, I mentioned that when I was 12, we moved out to a cattle ranch. Part of the reason for that move was because I was getting beat up in junior high. And that's mostly because I was a smart aleck. you know, today they'd say those guys were bullies, but they weren't bullies. I was ticking them off because of the things I was saying to them. So I'll take ownership of that. But they told me they're going to get me after school, which was just typical kid talk. And they did. You know, three bigger guys jumped me. And I was getting beat up on the side of the road. When all of a sudden, and by the way, it was just a kid's fight. It wasn't any big deal. I mean, it was, they were just kind of pushing and shoving more than anything else. And then we hear the roar of a motorcycle. And I look over, and there's this guy in this giant chopper with all decked out in black leather. He had, you know, the helmet painted red, white, and blue and a giant beard. He looked like a Hell's Angel. He really did. And he just shouts, hey, Roy, you okay? Well, those three guys pop up scared to death that I knew this biker dude, right? And it was Eddie from work. And he'd known me for years. He'd worked for our family for years. And he worked at the junkyard. So he saw this and he pulls over. And that's all he said was, hey, Roy, you okay? And they immediately, those three guys stood up and got scared to death and ran away. I said, yeah, I'm okay. And dusted myself off. And he goes, okay. And drove on. No big deal, right? But if I had not known him, I'd have gone home with a bloody nose and a bloody lip and everything else. And so knowing friends in low places can actually be very helpful sometimes.
We've been visiting with Roy Gobel, talking about leadership discoveries from his book, Salvaged, Leadership Lessons Pulled from the Junkyard. It's available online and at most book outlets. Or simply go to his website at junkyardwisdom.com to find out more.
Yes. Also, if you've enjoyed this feature, we'd love to have you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any of the other platforms. You can also listen to us on a smart speaker by simply saying, Alexa, or Siri, or Google, play the podcast Connections with Rich and Bobby.
Yes, and we're also on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby@gmail.com, or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1 verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So we thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.